KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We've been rocking and rolling at Uncle Julio's in Fort Worth off of Camp Bowie all day long. And right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors and special guest Kyle Yeomans.
It is Kyle Yeomans. Kyle, welcome to the show, man. How's it going?
Hey, guys. How are y'all today?
We're doing good. I wanted to. Okay, we'll get to Kevin.
We lost. We have the worst record in the NFL.
Well, no, hold on.
Tied for it, for sure.
No, not tied.
Oh, you're right.
Tied for nothing.
Yeah, you're right. We are by far the worst team in the NFL right now.
No, I don't really feel that way. But one of the things we've been talking about, I understand the concept of moral victories, especially against a really good team. But this was a game that you absolutely could have, and I guess I might argue should have won.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. And I talked about it on a couple of our shows this morning. But if you would have told me going into the matchup that Saquon Barkley is held to 3.3 yards per carry, A.J. Brown has just one catch for 8 yards. Devontae Smith has three catches for 16 yards. And Jalen Carter did not play a single defensive snap all night. I think Dallas wins that football game. Especially if CD has 100 yards, your ground game produces a couple touchdowns. I think you look at that and say, yeah, okay, Dallas is either right there in it or they've won that football game. And I think when you go back and you look at the film, and we've been doing that throughout the morning, It's almost infuriating at how close it was, but you also feel pretty good about how close it was and how you did go toe-to-toe with arguably the best roster in the NFL in a team that, of course, was at the mountaintop last year. But, yeah, it's going to hurt for a little bit because you had the opportunity to sneak up on them, to steal one at the beginning of the year, and to possibly set yourself up for a really good start. And with the schedule that's incoming at the back half of the year, you need to take games like that.
Did it not feel kind of like a movie script last night? First off, you got spit incident. Spit happens is what Kevin likes to call it. Then you have two offenses scoring on every possession. Then you have a second halftime. Like it's all these weird things that happened last night. It was a weird season opening football game.
Yeah, as soon as the spit happens, whenever it pieced it together. My first thought, and I looked at Isaiah, Barry, and Nate, who were in the studio, I said, is this
what... By the way, I was watching y'all's post afterwards. It was really good.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
Sorry
it.
Sorry to jump in there.
Yeah, I looked at them. I said, is this what we're in for this year? We had the weird year last year with the Dak injury and every crazy thing that happened all the way through the year in 2024. And then you turn around this is the first play, the first huddle of the entire season. And you've got something like that happen. You're right. It felt like a movie, but it wasn't like an intense, like Friday Night Lights, like inspirational movie. It was more of like a sitcom of what the NFL season could possibly look like going into 25.
You said you've been watching the film. I'm looking forward to checking out the All 22 here shortly. As the defense looked, who were some of your standouts defensively? Because we were kind of having a little conversation. Kenneth Murray for me stood out, but he had a bad PFF grade. I thought Kyer Elam stuck his nose in there defensively to make some tackles as a cornerback. What were some of your thoughts on who the good guys were here tonight? Last night.
Yeah, I haven't checked out the PFF grades yet, so this is just purely based on what I've seen.
Yeah.
I thought Kenneth Murray and the linebackers struggled at times, but it was mostly when they were in coverage, and they were forced to be in coverage a lot. Philadelphia did a lot of those shallow crossers, a lot of movement with their tight ends and their slot receivers that kind of challenged the linebackers, and both Sanborn and Murray, when they weren't playing downhill, I thought they struggled a little bit at times throughout that matchup. Not to say they had a bad game. I don't think they had a bad game, but there were just lapses in that. So if that PFF grade is down, that's probably what it would be from.
Yeah, their strength is definitely, I know for Kenneth Murray, his strength is definitely not in coverage, but stop and run. Yeah.
And they did a good job of that at times, too. The big thing for me and why I wanted to see more from the linebackers, this might have been the best interior defensive line play Dallas has had in years. I don't know if I remember a time where Dallas dominated an offensive line of this caliber with the interior of their defensive line. And they didn't. Saying they dominated is probably a little overzealous. But based on what they've had in the past, that's what it felt like watching the film. Solomon Thomas, Osa Odighizuwa, Kenny Clark. I mean, all three of those guys played really well on the inside. And my attention kept going right back to Solomon Thomas. I thought there were so many times where he had second or third moves and a part of a combo that worked around a potential blocker and helped either misdirect Saquon Barkley or make the stop entirely at that moment in time. So the way that they played on the interior last night was a big reason why there was an ability to stop the run when it wasn't Jalen Hurts. The big thing is you got to contain Jalen Hurts, the edge rushers, Sam Williams and Dante Fowler Jr., they were rough stopping the run, where I thought there were times where Marshawn Nealon played well stopping the run. So
yeah,
all of these things, bullet points along the way, but those are just some of the notes that I took early this morning.
And in terms of, like, obviously Sam Williams is one of them. If you get a hold of or you get a piece of the quarterback, like, you got to finish that. If we're going
to
be that aggressive.
Be able to.
Yeah. Now, what are we to make of, or what do you make of the Cowboys running game? Because I understand Javonte Williams had two rushing touchdowns. Miles Sanders had the big run. Mm-hmm. I get it that this is not how statistics work. But if you take out that Miles Sanders run, it's 21 carries for 70 yards. And I know Javonte Williams had a couple of hellacious runs where he broke the line of scrimmage after I thought he was done. But what did you think about the overall running game? Because I guess I just thought it was fine.
Yeah, I was kind of right there with you. I loved what they did in the first quarter, and the script that they used in the first quarter was what I wanted to see. It doesn't have to be the big runs, the home run type of carries. It just needs to be 4 or 5 yards a pop, and I thought we got that early. And even Javonte Williams alluded to that in his postgame words, in his interview. He kind of said, while all of the things were going well in the first half, they kind of took their foot off the gas in the second half.
Yeah.
And you can't allow that to happen. If you're going to establish the run, that's great. But part of establishing the run is making sure it remains consistent through all four quarters. They didn't do that yesterday. I think we saw glimpses that they can do that at some point in time. Give credit to Philly defensively without Jalen Carter. I thought they did a good job of still playing fast to the football. Zach Bond was incredible last night at the linebacker spot for Philadelphia. He was plugging holes and running downhill quite a bit too. So I'm interested to see how they take this to a defensive line that's also talented in New York this week. But I'm right there with you, Kevin. I think you need to see more from the run game as a whole.
Yeah, I think the description of DeMarco Murray once was he was a train. He's always on time. You need 2 yards, he's getting you 2 yards. You need 7 yards, he's getting you 7 yards. But it was consistency. And that consistency over time. If you only watched the first quarter like I did last night, because you couldn't see anything else, then you probably thought that everything looked pretty good.
You know what?
Like, wow, that's a great time. They run the football super good. And then you look back at it and you're like, where did all the yards go?
Yeah.
It's so funny that y'all say that, because I would argue if you watch just the first quarter or maybe even just the second quarter or just the second half, you might have three totally different narratives of what happened in this game, right?
I agree with you. I really do. I think.
Are you sure though, Kyle?
I think he was waiting
on
me. Waiting on me. Yeah.
Nope. I got distracted. I was waiting on Corey there, and I wasn't ready.
It's
it's week one for everybody, right?
I like it.
I do agree.
Bobby and was talking about this morning. The Dak walking by and is like, it looked like a silk romper, singing "Fly Like an Eagle" before the game intentionally to the media, and how his confidence like was very high. And there were times, like even the spit happens incident, there were times that I saw this confidence and swagger from Dak that I just had not seen in a while. And and I was kind of curious if you kind of saw that was rubbing off on some of the guys. He looked like he had a different energy, and I feel like if that energy comes up for the next 17 weeks, this is going to be a really good season.
No, I'm right there with you. When you've got a quarterback that played like he did last night, you should get a win. And that's not to completely throw it on the receivers and throw it on CeeDee Lamb, the square of what happened in the matchup. But when you go back, and like you said, you're looking forward to reviewing the film, just watch some of the throws that Dak made last night. He was dialing it up. And there were a couple times that he missed. I know he's going to want that seam route to Jake Ferguson in the red zone back. That should have been a touchdown. If he floats that to the back of the end zone as opposed to the front of the end zone, Jake doesn't have to turn back to the football and then it clank off of Zach Bond's helmet and falls incomplete. Because Ferguson had Bond beat in that Tampa 2 coverage, and if Dak puts that on the back of the end zone, that's a touchdown. He'll want that throw back. He'll want a couple throws back. But for the most part, Dak was accurate. His footwork was solidified. He was able to be mobile when he needed to be mobile. Saved a couple plays because of that. There was the one play where he had to break contain, get outside the pocket, kind of rolling footwork square to the line of scrimmage, and then throw it downfield. I can't remember if it was Tolbert or Lamb off the top of my head. I think it was Lamb. But it was a first down yardage gain, first down gain, after just evading all sorts of pressure, working through traffic, and then avoiding the pressure that was getting closer and closer off the right side. It's just that type of stuff that is going to make Dak what he was in 2023 when he was second in MVP voting. I was very impressed with him last night. I thought he played well enough to win that game. I know a lot of people are going to still put it on the quarterback, and there are wins and losses for quarterbacks, and he's not going to make any excuses. But at least one game down, check the box for Dak. I think he looked great, and I think he'll get better from there.
I don't think you have a disagreement from this show about how he looked. We could always want more. According to Dove Kleiman, since 2020, CeeDee Lamb leads the NFL with 35 drops.
Oh,
should
no.
the Cowboys cut him now or wait until later to cut him?
You said what year was that?
Since 2020.
Yeah, that's kind of that's a huge stat just to think about it. I know you're making a joke about
that. He had one season that was pretty rough. Last year was exceptional.
Yeah. I still hate that, though, because since 2020, I would argue he's one of the more targeted receivers in the NFL, period, right? I mean, mm-hmm. since he entered the league. So from before 2020, you can't throw anybody else into the mix, and all of a sudden you've got all five of that means he's going to be at the top of the list of most targeted in that draft class too. I just don't like stats like that where you try and make it from the moment they entered the league. Now, if you want to say over the last couple years, then sure.
And we can go to last night specifically too if you want. Yeah, we can go last night specifically. That was rough.
Now, right?
Yeah. Well,
that's a good point. That is a good point.
I guess that's I don't expect him to not bounce back from that.
Yeah, I don't either. I think he's going to be just fine. And even I was impressed last night the way that he took accountability for it post game. And he talked through. He said, "That's not a part of who I am. That can't be acceptable. That's not what I'm here to do." And as much as I agree with him, I like the way that he hit it after the fact. And he said, "I'm not going to hide from any of this. I'm going to attack this head on, and I'll be better next time around." Because at the end of the day, making grabs like that, whether it's tough and contested or not, that's going to decide who is an elite receiver in this league and who is just a good receiver in this league. CB has shown us before he has what it takes to be an elite receiver. He showed it at times last night to get to 120 yards. But those four drops and two in massive situations, that's going to be what people remember, and I think that's what CD will remember.
Yeah, I think you did a great job defining the entire thing right there, Kyle. Thank you very much for your time today, good sir. Have a wonderful one. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Y'all have fun out there. See you next week.
Yes, sir. Kevin, I wanted to get this quote in since I promised it all day.
You did.
Since I forgot it earlier because it's one of my favorite quotes that I forgot.
Oh, no.
Bill Parcells. Confidence is only born out of demonstrated ability.
Yeah.
It is not born of anything else. You cannot dream up confidence. You cannot fabricate it. You cannot wish it. You have to accomplish it. And I think that's where, like, confidence in yourself. I did it. I know I can do it. Confidence to a coach. The coach has confidence in you. I've seen him do it. I know he can do it. And then you have the trust that it can happen. That's the quote that I've been holding on to all day for you, Alec.
Let's go.
Yeah, I like that quote, too. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, what football game are you most looking forward to this weekend? Plus some Masterpiece of the Week, probably some more Cowboys, all of it next right here on The Fan.
56 seconds in the half. They will run a draw to Barkley up the middle. Broke two tackles. Touchdown, Barkley.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live from Uncle Julio's in Fort Worth off of Camp Bowie where...
How are the fajitas, buddy?
Oh, my gosh. That fajita meat is so freaking good, man. From the 214, Dak locks in on one receiver every game. And this is one of the things, I think it goes back to what Kyle was saying about the quarterback probably getting a certain amount of the blame no matter what. I think he was right to lock in on CeeDee Lamb yesterday. I thought CeeDee Lamb was open time and time and time again. And if he makes those catches, everyone will be like, what a genius decision to lock in on that wide receiver.
I think you're dead on with that assertion. I also agree with Broadus on the idea of find the scrub, and that is a Vach Lombardi special right there. Find whoever the weakness is on defense, mark them, go at them over and over and over until the opponent says, well, we got to cover for that. And then you say, okay, now where's the weakness? And last night, Adoree Jackson was the one that Broadus identified as the weakness on their team.
Sure.
And he was like, they just did not go at him enough. And that's kind of frustrating because there were a lot of times where maybe Pickens was matched up on him. And I haven't watched the All-22 to see if they were bracketing Pickens, leaving CeeDee Lamb in one-on-one coverage against Mitchell. But that would definitely be my approach next time is find, because Dak's probably going, instead of find the scrub, find the one-on-one coverage.
Yeah.
And if I have one-on-one coverage, that was the old Dan Buckner at Allen. Hey, if they're one-on-one, we throw to Dan Buckner. Otherwise, we throw to somebody else.
From the 940, when Kevin orders fajitas, does he ask for only the meat?
He did.
Yes.
He said, it's only meat and cheese, correct?
That is exactly
I'll be honest,
how
Kevin,
that played out.
They brought it out with the meat on top of onions and bell peppers, and I thought for a second, is that going to frustrate him?
Yeah.
But I want you to know something right now. Since you didn't eat the bell peppers or the onions,
yeah,
that meat was more flavorful because of it.
I agree with that.
There you go.
I do. All right.
Show me your meat.
What?
Not yet. We're not doing that segment yet.
What football game are you most looking forward to this weekend? I have to admit, I'm not overly enthralled. I hope Carter doesn't kill me for this.
The college slate.
I'm not overly enthralled with the college slate. I do probably Baylor SMU would be tops on my list because SMU is a favorite, a slight favorite, but a favorite nonetheless. It's a local game. And then Baylor, I put trust in what Carter says. I know tough opener against Auburn, but that was his team to win the Big 12. So I think that should be a really good game. And then I like Michigan and Oklahoma, but I have to admit, like, especially compared to last week, which is just unfreaking believable, one of the best slates in college football history to open the season. This college slate, that's all right.
I agree with you. I kind of look at it. I really do like the Baylor-SMU game for multiple reasons. You brought them up right there. Just to see SMU's continued growth. The NFL slate has a few more that I would say I want to stick on. Tonight's YouTube game that everybody can see on YouTube, obviously, is going to be on YouTube.
It's Brazil.
The Chiefs and the Chargers going at it in Sao Paulo. But, Kevin, who can get away from this Steelers-Jets game? Aaron Rodgers going up against his long history New York Jets because of the long history he has there.
All
and
right.
Justin Fields, can he take over for the legendary Aaron Rodgers who spent so many years in New York getting that team to where they are?
No, he didn't. Alec, I'm going to go to you. Do you give two S's about Steelers and Jets? Because I do not.
Well, that's kind of shocking that you don't, Kevin, because we know that, you know, there's...
All right.
There's definitely... There's premise for it, I promise, and I have it right here.
I'm a huge Steelers fan, so...
That is true. That is true.
I'm surprised that you don't care, because I don't care. I really don't. am I going to watch it because I'm a sicko? Probably.
Probably so.
Now, that I get.
Yeah, because I just missed NFL football so much. But if you want to watch real hoops, some real football, Ravens-Bills. Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
In that's week the big one.
In week one, we are getting treated to that. We get the big NFC East rivalry matchup to kick off the season, and then to be one of the final two games ending week one.
Okay.
Ravens-Bills. Ooh.
Can I? Do you think there's a very similar strategy happening in the time slot before with Lions-Packers? Because I'm with you there. Yeah. Lions-Packers.
I was just going to say, that was my real game.
Okay.
Because obviously the Micah Parsons interest to see what he does if his back lets him play. And then what are the Lions?
So Lions-Packers feel similar to Ravens-Bills to me in terms of those teams might be 2-3 in their respective conferences behind Kansas City and Philly, at least just to start the season. But they all seem like they could be potential Super Bowl contenders, certainly playoff teams. And Alec, to your point, I'm probably more in on Ravens-Bills, but I think it's really cool that both of those games you get like almost essentially back to back. Another thing to keep an eye out on, Baltimore is a 1.5-point favorite despite the fact that they're on the road against the Bills.
They love themselves some Baltimore in Vegas. I think the Giants and Washington game is obviously can Jaden Daniels pick up where he left last year?
Right.
Continue that kind of offensive onslaught that they had? Is that Dan Quinn defense going to put something on Russell Wilson that makes them go to their second quarterback? And could that be Jackson Dart earlier than we expected? Like, there's a lot of potential things that could go on in that game. I'm very oddly and weirdly connected to the Buccaneers and Falcons game. Like, because, A, I have Baker Mayfield for the first time ever in fantasy football. My new team name is now Bake It Till You Make It.
I like that.
Because it was once Parsons of interest, and now I just don't want to do that anymore. But seeing Michael Penix out there against Baker Mayfield, it's football season now, so I'll say it correctly. Seeing him out there against Baker Mayfield, and can they match? Baker Mayfield was phenomenal last year offensively. Can he bring that back to it, and can Atlanta keep up? So that's another game that I think is – I wouldn't typically be interested in, but A, fantasy football, and B, Michael Penix, completely changed my mind about it.
By the way, because I don't want to leave this out, because we talk about games at all levels, from the 972, I'm looking forward to the Duncanville-South Oak Cliff game.
Yes.
If you want to check, I think that's going to be on WFAA Plus, I believe is what I just saw. And then, I'm at Uncle Julio's. Can I meet you guys? Definitely, especially if you just wait till the break. Absolutely.
What if they're at the wrong Uncle Julio's? What if they just went to Uncle Julio's?
They asked if there was still space available, so I bet they're at the right one.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah, we're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and now it's time for Masterpiece of the Week.
Gentlemen, long time no speak. How are we doing?
I can't look the people in the eyes during this segment.
Oh, this is wonderful because
I have to look away.
I am currently staring, since the G-Bag Nation is at Globe Life Field, I'm staring into a room that has nobody in it, so I don't have to feel bad for anything that I play here, because it's time for Masterpiece of the Week, where we revisit the wild, wacky, and oftentimes very concerning things said on this very program. And guys, once upon a time you heard of Mikester Piece of the Week. How about Major's Piece of the Week
week?
It's going to be very Corey forward.
This is going to be fun.
Oh, for you.
But
and for everybody else.
That's right. But we do have a tradition, guys, of picking on people who are not here to defend themselves. And we have two people that fit that mold.
One of them better be Daniel.
We have Daniel, E-Steve, as we call him around these parts, or Sean Sharif.
Oh, let's play Sean first.
All right, so this happened during Crosstalk today, and I think he was describing a friend of the show, Jacob Ray, and got very descriptive.
That nice Chicago stroke.
Oh, my goodness. That's the real Italian beef, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
That's from the bear, the original. Yeah,
exactly.
I like it. Oh.
This is probably an awkward time, but I want to make sure I don't forget. Hey, shout out to Franklin. He turned 9 yesterday. His dad was here, wanted him to wish him a happy birthday. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
I wanted to throw this out there, too. My favorite thing ever was being in my car for Masterpiece of the Week last week, since I wasn't here. And hearing you guys make Kyle Yeoman so incredibly uncomfortable was my favorite thing ever. That was awesome.
He's a good sport.
He was. He did go along with the bit, but I like how he was like, it's fun to listen to, but being part of it, it's a different experience.
I can see why this segment's popular. I don't like being in it, though.
CW33's Daniel Esteve.
Pause. Hold on.
Oh,
before you play this cut, I just want to know if people heard this in the moment, because when he said it in the moment, I was like, wait, what now? It is very explicit.
Yeah, and, well, Friday nights can be fun for anybody, I guess.
Seems like every time we've gone down on the Texas Rangers.
Oh, my gosh. What are you doing right now? That was a misplacement of words. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to say those words
so you think
that way.
How well do you really know Daniel? We've only hung out with him a few times.
I guess you got a good point there.
You'd be like, who's next?
What are you doing?
I don't know.
That's
too far. Alec, you're going to say too far.
You said
I know.
My Epsteiner joke was too far.
Okay, now I like it.
What are we
changed my mind.
What are we doing? All right, well,
new information has been presented.
Gabe and Garland tweeted me and said that he really liked the Epsteiner joke. So
okay,
I appreciate
all
that.
Right.
I do.
More dangerous than the other two.
Jeez. But well, there were a couple entrants from when I was not here on Tuesday, out sick, and I'm going to call this a new subcategory. Corey gives life advice. Here's a. Piece of advice number one.
Dude, come on. Keep your mouth to yourself.
It's true. Dude, listen. This
that
is
makes
about,
sense. Jalen Carter should have listened.
Absolutely. Should've. Keep whatever's in your mouth to yourself. Keep your mouth to yourself. If nobody really, they'll tell you if they want your mouth.
Huh. Do we need to play Daniel's cut again?
And that was about Luis Suarez, by the way, who he has been known to bite. And did you say he spit on somebody? Is that what he
yes.
did? So
yes,
we have
he
two
did.
Spitting incidents in 1 week.
Yeah, what is this, the movie Sinners? Come on.
Yeah. That was so gross.
Yeah, that movie is awesome. That movie is awesome,
it's an awesome,
by the way.
It is an awesome movie.
Spitting was so 2 months ago. And then, Corey, you also said this.
Don't compare yourself to dogs.
Oh, man. That's a great point.
I don't know why I said that, but if you're a human, it's probably smart to compare yourself to you, all right, and not dogs or other humans.
Why are you comparing yourself to you?
Because
spoiler alert, it's a tie.
We got to focus on we, you know? We got to focus on ourselves, not other people, and trying
okay.
to keep up with the Jones eye.
All right.
Huh. Corey, if you were a dog, what kind would you be?
Probably just sweet old puppy, you know? Just
a puppy is not a kind of dog.
It's not a kind of dog.
Not the answer I was looking for.
Probably a very like loyal golden retriever. I think I would just be a very good golden retriever. He's a good boy, if he is.
I'd
be
that.
A cross between a bulldog and a shih tzu.
I know where you're going there. And, Corey, you know what? I'll answer what I would be for you.
A dog Sue?
A dog Sue.
Yeah, sure. Sure. That's totally what Kevin Hagland, of all people, is going for.
Oh, what is that supposed to mean?
I'll tell you during the break. But Corey, I would be a bulldog because I'm short and stocky. There you go. There's your short joke for the day. You're welcome.
I haven't made a short joke in, like, 8 months.
I know. I was gone for a long time, so I had to hit your quota for you. Corey.
I could see Alec as a bulldog. I'm thinking about it right now.
I appreciate the validation in my thought process there.
No
problem. And not just Corey's
Alec
thought process.
Often? You often imagine Alec?
Yeah, right. For sure.
Okay.
I didn't say in a weird
do
way.
Do we need to play the EC?
I think about you, too. I told you. I had a dream about us messing up the clock once, and I was like, Alex, like, was that a dream today's show?
Yeah, pretty much.
So I have dreams about weird things.
All right.
Oh, well, I'm going to save that one, too. Corey, this, again, like, with the context, it makes sense, but I just feel like this is what you're going to say every time the Cowboys win.
Yeah, your team got destroyed, all right, by America.
That was about the. Was that about handball? No. What was that sport that we were whooping everybody at?
It was the game. That sport.
Lacrosse.
Lacrosse. We're amazing at lacrosse, dude.
Hell yeah.
We're so good. We beat people like by 20 points a game or
hell
whatever,
yeah.
20 goals or
hell
20
yeah.
wickets. I don't know what we call it, but we do. We're really good at it.
Well, Kevin, you only have one entry this week.
By America.
That sounds about right.
And, well, all right. geez, we're pushing the line.
What do you mean? I meant about the show.
And no, I ran the tape on yesterday's controversial moment.
Oh, no.
And I didn't hear it.
Yes.
So I let that
one pass. In your face, Charizard.
I let that one pass. But this one might have been worse.
But then when you get the fancy, like, you just pull it down, and it's like, oh, perfect every time.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I understand that. You're right. It is, you know, kind of moment. It
what?
Is.
What? What was I talking about?
I'm pretty sure you know. But, yeah, it's like there's, like, this golden halo surrounding it and everything. I get it.
Corey thinks very highly of himself after going to Men's T Clinic. Look at that.
Man, this is really going to bother me. I do not know.
Do you sure do?
What I was talking about.
That's for me to know and you to find out.
Son of a gun.
Best of luck.
Corey's just going to continue to incriminate himself, though, because he did say this.
We enter in the rear. Like, that's what we do.
In my neighborhood.
Oh! Plano ladies.
Pineapple.
Men.
In my neighborhood, we don't park in the front very often. All of our garages are in the back side of the house, in the alley. And so we go into the house through the garage door in the alley.
I don't know if you've heard the phrase, it's business in the front, party in the back.
Yes. Somebody, one of our guests said that recently.
You're not helping
yourself. Did they have a mullet?
It was Tony Casillas yesterday.
Oh, okay.
He was saying,
well, then, yeah.
He was saying that they used to call certain games mullet games.
Okay.
Because they would be business early and then party at the end of them. And when he said it, I was like, I don't know what he's talking about. And then I figured it out. Good job, Tony Casillas.
Well, Corey, in this one, you were talking about your business, it sounds like.
Do you have a hot mouth like me?
Oh, man. That is.
I have heard you say that numerous times, though. That doesn't shock me, just because I'm aware
of your thoughts. Yeah, I eat ice cream very fast. I wouldn't say, Kevin, you've seen me chug beers.
Unbelievable.
I would say I chug beers faster than I eat ice cream, but I do have I think the temperature of my mouth, whenever compared to ice cream, the ice cream just can't handle my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Well, you know what else might not
Michael
be able
Douglas
to?
Douglas over here.
I think you might have mentioned somebody who likes the hot mouth here.
And my wife's always like, how did you do? And I'm just like, my mouth must be warmer than everybody else.
Oh, my God.
I wish there was a scientific way to go about this. I don't know. Maybe my tongue is wider, and it just there's more surface area.
Which is also a good thing.
I don't know about that. But, yeah, ice cream. I love it.
Great PSA.
That was what I was supposed to take away from that? Okay.
It's not what I took away.
Just do it, right? Is that the...
Yeah, that is. That's what I took away.
So, I'm sorry, Alec. Is that the last one?
Yes.
Okay. So, Corey, you said a lot of things.
It's about mouths.
About mouths. But they were all focused on only one person.
That's right.
Instead, I'm going to vote for the man who is ready to literally take one for the team from the CW.
What are you doing?
Go ahead and play that one more time.
Seems like every time we've gone down on the Texas Rangers.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh. They don't steal as many bases.
He's such a
Their
nice
legs
guest.
Are tired.
He's
no, he is.
Nice
he is. But that is what
we did
he
that
said.
To him. He, you know what? And everybody that comes on this show understands that they're fair game.
Feels like we should be winning this division.
Corey, vote.
I'm going to go with keep your mouth to yourself.
Oh, man. Trying to find that one.
Yeah, I said a lot of mouth things
yeah, you
this
did.
Time.
You really did.
Yeah,
there's too many things named mouth. Here it is.
Dude, come on. Keep your mouth to yourself.
Yes, exactly. That's what we tell our children.
Yes.
Very.
Nobody wants an unsolicited mouth.
It's true.
That's true. And you know what? I'm going to leave it up to the people because I feel like there was a very underrated entrant this week, and it was Kevin Hagland.
But then when you get the fancy, like you just pull it down, and it's like, oh, perfect every time.
All right. Hit us up on Twitch.
I still don't know what you were talking about.
I don't either.
That's tough.
YouTube, the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line. Daniel, Corey, or Kevin, who is your winner for Masterpiece of the Week? Coming up next, we'll throw it out to Globe Life Field to chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Sanders stays at running back. Receiver Tolbert in motion to the right. And Prescott gave it to Sanders, and the ball came out. It's picked up by the Eagles. And Quinyon Mitchell recovered it at the 25-yard line.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. Let's take things out to Globe Life Field to chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Amazing, Hagee. How are you?
Man, I'm doing all right. There's been a lot of positivity today, but also some frustration that they didn't close it out. Our Wolchuk and Broadus hanging in there, because I know I was listening to you guys after the game last night, and I said I had hopes and prayers for you, and then a weather delay really threw that into chaos. What were some of y'all's top takeaways from the game if for some reason people weren't listening to y'all afterward?
Yeah, it was a missed opportunity there, certainly. And I know Broadus got up at 6 a.m., watched the film. Luckily, wow. NFL Plus actually got that thing up pretty quickly, so I was able to watch the All-22 as well. But
good for you.
Anytime Jalen Carter doesn't play a snap and defensively you're able to do as well as they did in terms of the coverage, limiting A.J. Brown, didn't have a target until the final drive of the game, and the way the offense played. I mean, I thought that the running game, what they were able to do, if you had a better runner, you probably end up having more in that running game,
yeah.
But that's exciting moving forward. I thought Dak was really, really good, but it comes down to you can't have Miles Sanders fumble. I think Dak certainly would like to throw to Ferguson back, where if he throws it to the back of the end zone instead of underthrows him where Bond can make the play, then that's a touchdown. But CeeDee Lamb did have some big-time drops, and you're paying.
Ferguson.
I mean, he did. Ferguson dropped a touchdown too. But I mean, that is easier said than done when you're about to get your head taken off. Some would call that a hospital ball. But that's one where it's like, damn, man. That was a lot of positives to take away. But you had a chance to go in there and steal one from the Eagles, and I just hope it doesn't come back to bite them at the end of the season.
Yeah, I kind of feel like though that the unfortunate thing is when you start to talk about the Miles Sanders fumble, is your best offensive lineman missed the block, where his man was the one that knocked the ball loose. Mm. You know, you don't feel like that Tyler Smith, you know, if you want to say that maybe Steele didn't get his guy or Guyton didn't get his guy particularly buttoned up, but it was your best lineman. And that's the sad thing about it. And you mentioned the stuff with Lamb as well and some of those. He had an incredible game. And then all of a sudden they run a slant, he has a drop, and then it kind of snowballed from there for him. But, you know, when your best players – aren't making plays for you, it's hard to win football games that way. And I don't think you're ever going to go to Philadelphia and have a better shot of winning a football game than you did last night. You know, I think everything was kind of lining up for you. The defense kind of figured out some things, and you know, after the weather delay, you know, good for them to kind of do that. You know, all of a sudden the edges were playing a little bit better. They were playing a little bit better, more of contain. You know, they were the secondary, I thought, was really good in that game. So, yeah, there are a lot of positive things, but, man, if your best players are going to go through the season not making plays, this is going to be a very, very average football team.
Chiafalo and Dawson, y'all's thoughts?
I'm feeling good, man. I was really, really pleased with the offense and especially the way Schottenheimer went ahead and attacked it with the vision that he laid out, and he dropped it on us pretty hard.
Can I ask you guys a question on that? Why did I feel like his first 15 – were really good,
yeah.
You know, all of a sudden we didn't see the orbit motions, we didn't see the return motions, we didn't see the motion on top of the motion. It's like he spent the whole summer kind of coming up with the first 15, and then it turned into, okay, you needed something after the weather delay, and you really didn't have anything. You couldn't get that back going. I felt like his first and second quarters were really good as a play caller.
Yeah.
And after the weather delay, I didn't see the creativity that we'd seen like early in that football game, and that bothered me a little bit.
For the totals for the game, I think they would have had the fourth highest motion if they had done that rate last year. So big step in the right direction from when they were third lowest in the NFL last year in motion. I'm optimistic. You know, I think the division's in play. I think the entire coaching staff on both sides of the ball showed that, you know, they're capable of making adjustments better than any of the previous administrations that we've had in my time covering the team. So I'm optimistic, even though it was disappointed. It was a fun game.
Broadus, just real quick, are you worried then that Shoddy maybe has a shallow creative playbook?
I wouldn't say shallow because he showed some creativity off the jump, but you wonder first game, he was always telling us he's going to have surprises and things like that. I felt like, though, to me, as you watch this game on tape, they played pretty stationary. One motion maybe. There wasn't the creativity in the running game. It went trap. It went behind the trap. You know, they were doing things, I felt like, early in that football game that were like, oh, well, here's some things that we worked on this summer and we're throwing them out there. Oh, we didn't see this during training camp. I just didn't see him putting a lot of pressure in that after the weather delay on this Philadelphia Eagle defense. I just didn't see, you know, the thing. It was pretty, oh, let's try and run the ball. And then some of the routes, the all curls, the hooks and things like that, the slants. You know, he on fourth and two, that was probably his most creative play with when they switched the routes to try and get the pick. You know, they had the underneath if they wanted to throw it, to Turpin. But he went for the home run ball, and you know, good for him. But that was, to me, there needed to be more of that. After that fumble, it's kind of like the offense turned into something that was like last year's offense a little bit.
Some forced throws.
Yeah.
Like the Schoonmaker one where, like, he's not open, and you're trying to force it to him along the sidelines. I also, like, I don't know that there was some confusion, it seemed like. There was one time CeeDee and Jake Ferguson are going to line up, and Ferguson's asking CeeDee Lamb, like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Tolbert, I think, is in the wrong place when that CeeDee drop happens down the field. Like, Jalen Tolbert is a yard away from CeeDee Lamb. So I'd love to know, did Tolbert run the wrong route? To me, it seems like Jalen Tolbert's a net negative when he's on the field. He sure as hell isn't blocking, and I don't know that I can trust him where the hell to be. So I don't know what the point of Tolbert is on the team.
Honestly, I didn't know what Pickens was doing, that rodeo move that he made.
He was
bulldogging at the national finals.
Yeah, you saw him, some of the old Steelers stuff on the field. Like, he wanted to yank Quinyon Mitchell's knee in the back of the end zone after that one flag. Thank God he didn't. But you could see a little bit of that not good competitive nature from George Pickens to boil over. And I'm sure over the course of an 18 or 17-game schedule, we're probably going to get a couple of those moments.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, Hagee, 4.5 hours worth of Nick Harris Star Telegram at 4. Of course, what you drink and what you think at 5 o'clock, and we'll be talking Rangers Astros getting ready for this sweep here at the Globe.
G-Bag Nation live from Globe Life Field. Next, we'll be back on Monday, 10 to 2, right here on The Fan.
Take it back, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.